stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Managed System Z Application Development with IBM Rational ClearCase and IBM Rational Developer for System Z. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how IBM can help you optimize your development process using an IDE like Rational Developer for System Z that integrates with management tools such as ClearCase. The speaker for today's teleconference is David Lawrence, Enablement Engineer Rational for ZI and EGL Ecosystem Team. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, David Lawrence.
Thank you, and welcome to this IBM Rational Software teleconference. Today, we're going to discuss how you manage System Z application development with our Rational Developer for System Z in conjunction with IBM Rational ClearCase and IBM Rational ClearQuest. Slide number two, a little bit about the agenda. There'll be time for questions at the end, so please feel free to raise your hand, and we'll get to you when we can. We'll talk a little bit, very briefly, to introduce Rational Software. Those of you who are hearing about IBM Rational for the first time may find it useful just to understand that we've been around for a while and what we've been about. Then we're going to talk about the problems that enterprises face as they try to develop Z applications, or more to the point, how they try to develop the Z applications and link them into the growing abundance of distributed applications, web front ends and such, running on typically Windows or Unix clients. We'll then go into some depth about IBM Rational Developer Z. We're going to introduce this as our enterprise IDE solution, and we are basically presenting this solution as a way for enterprises to get their arms around and get control of this problem of trying to release simultaneous Z and distributed applications as one unit. And then we'll talk about how you support that lifecycle, Rational ClearCase and ClearQuest, and introduce those and how they link together with Rational Developer Z, and we'll do a quick summary at the end of that question. Okay, moving to slide number three. So we're going to start with a very short discussion of Rational Software's unique value. Slide number four. Rational Software started out in the early 80s as an independent vendor of IDEs, mostly in the ADA space for defense contractors. At that time, Rational's mission statement, as you see here, IBM Rational Software helps organizations automate, integrate, and govern the core process of software and systems delivery. That was our mission statement 25 years ago. It's still our mission statement today, and it is still relevant to us. It's still what we do even now as part of IBM. We have decades of proven technology leadership. We have very strong revenue numbers. Our 2007 revenue numbers just came out, and we show very good results, 22% year-to-year improvement over the previous year. We continue to fund R&D very strongly. We have a very large installed base, thousands of customers worldwide. Going along with that, we have experts worldwide who can help you understand and adopt our solutions and make your team successful with them. And what we offer, what's been successful, is we offer a complete end-to-end lifecycle solution for those organizations who consider the cooperative development delivery their core business. Moving on to slide number five. So let's talk a little bit about application development for Z. And as I mentioned before, the real issue of application development for Z and how to tie your Z applications together with these newfangled distributed applications that people are demanding now. Going to slide number six. So first, let's talk about legacy applications. There's no getting around the fact that there is significant business intelligence in the core systems. Estimates are of 200 billion lines of COBOL still in existence, estimates of 5 billion lines of COBOL added every year. There's still about 2 million COBOL developers out there. So that number may be going down a bit, but there's still 2 million of them out there. And most significantly, the last two points, the majority of customer data still resides on mainframes, according to Computer World, and eWeek estimates it would cost something like $20 trillion to replace it all. So when you look at that, you look at the dynamics of the mainframe COS market, there was a movement afoot a number of years ago to maybe replace the mainframe. You know, there was all those funny quotes around maybe it would be obsolete by 1996 and so on and so forth. But those numbers basically belie that, the numbers you see here. And what's happened time and time again as organizations start to think about, well, is it time for us to get off the mainframe? Should we write this all in Java and run it on distributed host someplace? They start asking questions. How long will it take? So in other words, do I invest the multi-man-year effort to rehost all my applications from ZOS to someplace else, essentially investing some undetermined amount of our effort to stand still to basically deliver the same value we're delivering now while my competitors move ahead, or do I keep going with what I have? If I were going to rewrite it, who would do it? Who understands enough about our business applications right now on the host who could effectively translate, re-architect them into a distributed climate? Even bigger questions, how much will it cost? You know, what's the risk? What if it doesn't work? What's happened now as a result is many of these organizations have come to the conclusion that rewriting really is not going to be an option anytime soon. Yes, the number of mainframe installations has dropped a bit, but the truth of the matter is that for those operations that are still using the mainframe, they've decided that that's going to be their platform of choice for the future, and they are coming to us for help in working with these applications and continue to make them relevant into the 21st century. We have slide number 6. So let's look at this again. Here's a Google search on COBOL coders. Yes, there are IT managers migrating away from COBOL, and they're wondering if they can run out of COBOL programs or run out of the COBOL code. If you look at the quotes in red there, 62% of the respondents that Computer World surveyed, they actively use COBOL. 3/4 of those say they use it a lot and that they are still using it to develop new applications. 25% have said they would like to replace COBOL with something else, but have found that it's too difficult or expensive. But what's complicating this is that 45% of these organizations found that their ability to hire COBOL programmers was much worse than their ability to hire programmers for more modern languages like Java, Visual Basic, and so on and so forth. And the other thing they're finding out is that rewriting some COBOL programs can take 3 or 4 times as many lines in Java or C++ as the comparable COBOL program would take. And there are all the questions about performance and scalability and reliability. These are problems that IBM and the mainframe have solved years ago. And this is why business critical applications continue to run on the mainframe, and that's why COBOL is here to stay, we think. Moving to slide number 8. So let's go into the problems. Let's go into the situations of COBOL, of organizations, and how they develop COBOL applications now. So you see a very typical COBOL development cycle here. If you look at the bottom center blue circled text there at its source, the operation actually starts off with a new business requirement that's been identified, some analysis and design that's done. When you get right down into the coding phase, the cycle follows through with editing the source, opening the source editor, finding the lines you want to change, making the change, saving the source file, then going and editing the build script, editing the JCL, submitting the compile job, looking at SDSF, find the job, see what happened with the compile, find the code to see if you can find out where the error was, go back to the edit session, exit JCL, and go round and round again. It's been this way for 40-some-odd years, and despite the advent of newer platforms, it remains a platform of choice just because of its simplicity and its ease of use and its elegance. So if you go to slide number 9, how the newer traditional Java development takes place. So usually Java takes place in a self-contained IDE development environment. Normally the developer develops as they go, and they edit locally. Java is compiled as you go. Most of the more sophisticated IDEs have built-in test environments. So basically all these activities take place locally on your desktop. And the deployment is really sort of over the wall. In other words, they build the Java app, they do some sort of testing, and they put it on some server someplace for production control to pick up and run, and the production is somewhere else. No one really, you know, the developers don't really know where that is. So that's a little bit different from the ICF cycle we showed earlier on the previous slide. And now if you go to slide number 10, this is kind of illustrates the problems that we have. Okay. So what's happened is you've now got two organizations who've grown up in separate silos or separate islands, with, until recently, very little reason to talk to each other. The communication is limited, and synchronizing these two release models is very difficult. It's sort of ad hoc, it's labor-intensive, and the risks are increasing because there's an increasing interdependency between the distributed components of your enterprise applications and your host components of it. And the risk of causing a service outage or a failure or data corruption if one of these releases is successful and the other is not is getting greater as the interactions become more complex. So as you need to have a more sophisticated release model, the problems of not having a centralized repository of metadata become more and more extreme. Why? Because if you are trying to work in a model where you need to release all in one piece, what you need is an ironclad audit trail or a history so that if something goes wrong, you have the ability to roll the whole release back. Or if you need to show what you built and how you built it, it's difficult if you've got metadata scattered around different pieces of the organization and different data centers, different databases, someplace like that. It's very hard to trace what happened when a release was made and when, or trace the possibility. All these problems then become more problematic as these interactions grow. So, again, the growth of the interaction between these two application centers is going to add to constraining complexity. It's going to increase your cost because you're spending more and more time coordinating. You've got the cost of duplicate infrastructures, multiple repositories, and all these things just get more and more complicated as it goes on. So that is the problem that traditional enterprises are seeing now as they try to blend their distributed application environment and their host application environment. But as we all know, your customers are only see one application. You know, when they log on to buy something from you, they don't want to know that there are some Javas that download on a desktop, try to do a DB2 in the background. They don't want to know that. They know, can I order my new deck of playing cards or can I not? And if they can't, then your site is broken. So to them, it's just one big application. Organizations that realize that and manage their enterprise IT the same way are the ones that are going to be successful. So moving to slide number 11, IBM has released a series of what we call modernization solutions, and the intent is really to address the kinds of issues that will be discussed in the previous several slides. Okay, so as I sort of hinted in the prior slide, the typical multiple silo approach to releasing your applications is very expensive from a maintenance standpoint. It's very expensive because it's difficult to identify assets and reuse them. It's very difficult because of the complexity of the architecture involved, and it's difficult because of the multiple or different silos of development teams with different skills who don't talk to each other. So IBM's modernization solutions tend to try to blend this and approach the problem from a slightly different aspect, where we consider assets and how to discover, understand, and transform those assets from existing solutions into more modern applications and services. Architectures, which basically are how you evolve your current monolithic host-based applications into more service-oriented, or what we call service-oriented architectures, where you basically have your business logic presented to the organization as a series of services that can be called on and blended to meet new business requirements. Underlying all that are the skills of your organization that are going to be responsible for transforming these assets from these monolithic assets into services. And all this is basically governed by a set of processes and tools. And part of the modernization is trying to figure out how to evolve these processes and tools from maybe two or three different silos or two or three different life cycles down into one, not so much one size fits all, but a consistent life cycle across the enterprise, which enables your enterprise to release software components, regardless of source, regardless of whether it's Z or distributed, as single release, because that is what your customer is seeing. All right, so let's go on to slide number 12. Talk a little bit about the history of Rational Developer System Z. It's actually been around for quite some time now. It started out life in 2004, those of you who have been with us for a while. Under the Webster brand, it was Webster Studio Enterprise Developer. In 2005, it was renamed Webster Developer System Z, or Z-Series. In 2006, it became Webster Developer System Z, as we renamed Z-Series to System Z. And the most exciting thing that's happened is in 2007, Rational Developer System Z was moved to the Rational brand in recognition of the fact that it really fit better with the Rational mission, which I mentioned in the prior slide, which is helping organizations meet the needs to develop and deliver business-critical applications. It made the most sense for Rational Developer to fill in that big IDE space that Rational had always looked for. So now Rational Developer Z is part of the Rational brand. We're investing enormous amounts of money in it now to bring it up to snuff, to bring it up to standard with the competitive offerings. And we feel that now, under the Rational brand, it fits well the rest of our message, and that's where we're going to go forward with it. Slide number 13. So that's a quick introduction to Rational Developer System Z. We're now going to go a little bit into some depth with it. I realize this is not really a technical presentation. It's really sort of an executive-level presentation, so we're not going to go deep into the dives. Certainly, there are many other resources available that you can refer to if you want more information. But I'll just give you, in this webcast, a very brief overview of the major benefits of Rational Developer System Z. Okay. So again, it's our enterprise IDE. Let's go to slide number 14. Now, this is a very busy slide, and as I say, we're going to spend the rest of the talk, most of the rest of the talk, covering these areas, not in a lot of detail, but just enough so that you understand the various spaces that RDZ operates in. Okay, so Rational Developer for System Z is actually an Eclipse-based product, so it's a standard, basically works on a Windows desktop or a Linux desktop, and it presents to a series of what we call perspectives, or think of it as views, where a set of predefined arrangements of windows within the tool that allow you to focus on different activities that are involved both in application development for System Z and application development for distributed. So we have Jasmine problem determination tools, so you can work with VSAM datasets if you want to. You can get to the fault analyzer, RDZ. There's an integration with our Rational Business Developer Extensions product, which used to be called Enterprise Generation Language. That enables quick and easy development of modern enterprise applications, sort of a write-once-run-anywhere type of solution. It figures out which components need to be built for the host, which components need to be built on the distributed side, and allocates them accordingly. It does traditional ZOS development, so it connects. So with Rational RDZ, you connect into a ZOS environment. You can work with ZOS resources. You can explore PDSs. You can allocate PDSs and all those sorts of things you typically do through ISPF. You can do it through Rational Developer System C. In addition to that, there is a lot of tooling to support web services and service flow creation. It helps you implement service-oriented architectures and web services. Gives you SOA access to Kix 3.2 IMS V9 COBOL apps, COBOL applications. We go into more detail on this to get it further in the talk, just to give you a summary now. There's a pretty comprehensive set of tools to enable you to support software configuration management. We'll talk about how our Rational RDZ talks both to SCLM, also to ClearCase and ClearQuest, the rational solutions for software configuration management. And we'll talk about how you can use RD to develop both web and JE development as well. Okay, so that's basically what the rest of the talk is going to cover. We'll return to the slide a few times to see where we are. So let's go ahead now to slide number 15. Okay, so the very most elemental thing that RDZ, or Rational Developer System Z, offers you is the ability to make your host-based data sets look like workstation files. So what this means is it's very easy to work with files in a very familiar, comfortable user environment. We can go on to slide number 16 now and sort of see a picture of it. So at its very basic, Rational Developer System Z is an integrated development environment, Eclipse-based, like all of IBM's IDEs, offers a common development environment for COBOL, PO1, CC++, and Java. Gives you a lot more information right at your fingertips. So you can see from the picture there, you can do all kinds of things from one window. You can edit your source. You can click on error messages and get, by double-clicking on a compilation error, you can get the full text of the error message. You can edit multiple source JCL members. So basically what you see there, and we'll see other pictures of this, is a complete environment both for editing files and also for submitting jobs, editing JCL, do local syntax checks, and view the files and actually do the structure of your application all from the same window. All right, so we look at slide number 17. Here's another view of what you can do with RDZ. You have completely interactive access to ZOS. So you can not only use the UPEX editor and look at source code, you can define how your ZOS files map to the distributed side. For example, you can map COBOL members to the CBL file extension, JCL to the JCL file extension, and so on and so forth. You can manage data sets. All these things are possible just by switching your perspectives around from one aspect to another. This is the Remote Systems Explorer perspective, which is where you work with the files in the host. Okay, so moving on to slide 18, in addition to the interactive ZOS access, we actually take advantage of a lot of the features in the workstation to automate a lot of the traditional editing type things that people usually struggle with. So because of the multicolor display of the workstation and the other utilities, it's very easy for you to do complex searches, finding statements, find data names, and all these things basically collaborate to make it much easier and much more efficient for a developer to quickly find the block of code they want to edit and edit it correctly and completely the first time. So what this does is it reduces the guesswork, it reduces the error of risk, makes the developer more productive and less frustrated. So let's move on to slide number 19. You don't even need to have a connection to a host to do your syntax checking. There's a built-in local or remote compiler, so you can basically submit a compile job locally in your workstation and do local syntax checking. You see from the little red circle there with a cross through it, the syntax error is easily highlighted. You can double-click on the error, and the error message comes right up. And this all happens right locally within RDZ on your workstation. There's no need to send NIPs to do this. It's all done locally in your workstation. So what this does is it offloads some of your MIPS mainframe costs down to your desktop where it's cheaper to run. All right, so let's move on to slide number 20. Mentioned before, there's full support for C++. There's a compiler, editor, content assist, meaning this quick way to find and locate code if you need to. There's a remote syntax check feature. You can use the IBM debug tool to start a debug session. And there's actually all the standard types of navigation supports that you get used to in modern IDEs. You can look at packages, functions, classes, globals. You can open include files. And this is also built on top of Eclipse and the CDT offering. And you can work either with MVS or USS. So all these features are available to you. So when you get RDZ, you get full support for C++, like any other IDE would offer you. So moving on to slide 21, in addition to a fully featured C++ IDE, we offer sort of an analogous thing for JCL. So you are no longer in the business with RDZ of having to write your JCL from hand. RDZ actually has the ability to generate JCL. So RDZ has the ability to generate the JCL that you need to compile and link out of the program. So what this means is it reduces the amount of effort a developer has to spend writing JTL and allows them to spend more time writing business logic, you know, writing these solutions and all that sort of stuff. So this is performed by simply providing a set of JTL supply procedures. You can customize them to your site locally, and thus they further automate developers' tasks. You'll see the amount of time developers spend writing JTL go down by quite a bit. So moving to slide number 22, like JTL submission, you can debug your COBOL applications using the same kind of debug perspective as the Java developers use. So again, this is a nice feature, enables your developers across the enterprise to standardize on the tools, and it enhances their mobility, allows them to do more things more easily. So you have a consistent debugging environment for COBOL, PO1, C++, or Java. It doesn't really matter. It's the same debugger, and it offers all the same features. It offers the same industry-leading features everybody does. It takes you to exactly the right point of failure and saves you a lot of time having to put print statements in and all that sort of stuff. It's all basically right there, regardless of the language that you're running in. All right, let's go to slide number 23. So in addition to remote and local debug, you can also debug Kix applications with RDC. Very easy to do. You simply set up your web browser, identify the program name, and off you go. You get the same kind of breakpoints you would get with remote and local debug. So again, this is another instance of instantiation of RDC, what we feel is a very complete solution to your enterprise development needs. Let's go to slide number 24. Of course, as you're working with the host, you need to be able to look at your job. So there's a job monitor window that you can go in through. So you no longer have to go into ISPF and go to SDSF and do all that stuff. You basically just go right from RDZ. You can go right to SDSF from RDZ. No need to go outside. No TSO commands or anything. There's also an ISPF window as well. There's an ISPF emulator as well. So you can, within RDZ, you can launch the ISPF window and enter TSO commands directly if you like. So we're going to slide number 25 now. So another feature we offer is a built-in ISPF emulator, which enables you to either issue ISPF or TSO or RUSS commands right from within RDC. Again, no need to go outside and pop a shell someplace else. It's all built in for you right there in the environment. And in fact, if you go to slide number 26, here's an example of that window in use. In this example, we're actually using the RDC ISPF emulator to talk to a ClearCase repository. We'll talk more about this a little further on in. Of course, with RDC, it wouldn't really be complete unless you could do some direct management of your host-based applications. So we offer a pretty complete set of facilities to enable you to manage DOS files and data sets. So you can allocate and create PDSs themselves. You can allocate and create new members. You can press do all the standard sort of PDS administration type things a developer would do, often with RDC. Again, no need to go out to our ISPF to do that. Going to slide number 28, you can use RDC to connect to AIX. So in the same way you can do VOS and sending your PDF and files management and VOS, you can do the same thing on AX. You can edit, copy, compile, link files. And this actually talks to AX through the IBM debug tool, so you get all the debug features as well. Okay, let's go to slide number 29. DB2 stored procedures are a pretty big issue for everybody. So what we offer for DB2 stored procedures is we have a wizard, which takes the process of creating a stored procedure that would be deployed to a DB2 ZOS server. We actually generate the SQL for the definition of the procedure. We generate the access program as well, either in PO1 or COBOL. RDC includes the build environment with a COBOL and PO1 editor, and it will build and register your stored procedure on your universal database server. And, of course, it's a debugger with that as well. Going to slide number 30, there's also a test facility for this. So you can actually, once you've got your stored procedure built, you can grab the parameter information from the catalog, provides an interface with access to the caller as a procedure, runs the stored procedure, and will invoke it under the debugger if you need me. So again, often with an RDZ, you can build and test your DB2 stored procedures very easily. Okay, so going on to slide number 31, in addition to DB2 stored procedures, clearly we'd have to offer a Kix solution, and we actually have an integration with Kix Transaction Manager Series V6.1. So you've actually got all those, so analogous to DB2, we offer local syntax checking as a local Kix TX series runtime. This is, again, part of the product, so you can build and test your Kix transactions locally without burning up expensive CPU to do that. Slide number 32, we also offer Kix BMS map supports. So there's actually a wizard that enables you to create new map files. There's a drag-and-drop editor. There's a design, a preview windows. And you can import existing BMS maps. So all these features there to very quickly and easily automate the process of creating your new BMS maps, again, freeing your developer up to added business logic instead of wasting time fooling with utilities. Slide 34. Let's talk about the System Z Rapid Application Development Tool. So what that is, that's a sort of an overall wizard that enables you to very quickly and easily generate web application code. So the generated code is actually built from a set of best practices for web code. It's fully documented on the way, automated, and it comes with a very quick and easy application so to enable you to become familiar with it very quickly. It's actually designed for ZOSDB2 database developers who are trying to create a mixed workload web application. So it assumes a J2EE Web3 application server, Kix, and COBOL or DB2. So we've got a slide number 35 now. The overview is something like this. You design your application in UML. There's WGZ Wizard that basically takes the UML, imports your schema, runs all this through the generator, and the result is you wind up with some JCL, your WSDL, and some Kix and COBOL applications to talk to your DB2 app. So, again, rather than having to do all that stuff by hand, you basically design your application up front with UML, give your database schema, and the wizard does the rest. So, again, this makes it very easy to rapidly create your database apps, create intensive database apps, without doing a lot of administrative work. So, going to slide number 36. So, here's sort of a close-up of the database app being generated from the schema. So we basically can take your existing DB2 schema and generate the app directly. So you see that right in along with your UML, and you've got your new application. Again, very easy to do this. Okay, so let's go to slide number 37. So just show you where we are now. So we talked about the ZOS application development environment in the gray circle there. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about enterprise service tools, just to give you a picture of where we're going. Go to slide number 38. So why web services? Well, a good question, right? Well, not really. It's sort of an obvious question. This is what everybody's doing nowadays. And the successful organizations are those who have come up with a very quick and easy and cost-effective way to create web services. Business needs change all the time nowadays. So what's going on is these usually are reflected in very rapidly evolving web services. I mean, look at your average, say, catalog from a large retailer. A catalog probably changes several times a minute. Okay? The quicker you can develop a web service that can support changes at that velocity, the further ahead of your competition you're going to be. So web services, it basically is a means of providing standardized accesses to assets. Remember I talked earlier about the whole idea of service-oriented architecture. The benefit of this is that when you've got these assets presented as services, it's very easy to construct new web services, for example, a sale promotional coupon or a new subscriber package, something like that. What web services do are they define the interfaces between your assets and your user such a way that it's very easy to construct these new applications and deploy them into production while the opportunity remains. Because you know these opportunities come and go really fast. Clearly, if you've got your architecture right, it enables you to reuse your applications, to reuse existing applications, expose the web services, expose them as web services going forward, and with the result that you're always ahead of the game there. Okay, so slide number 39. So let's talk about what web services mean in the rational developer Z world. We offer something called XML services for the enterprise, or XSE. And what those simply are, let's give you a quick overview. There are basically several styles that people or organizations have adopted to adopt web services. So there's the bottom-up style, where they take existing business applications, and they go through a generation exercise of taking their COBOL or PON apps, running them through some logic or doing some work, and the result is some new web service description languages and some converters that then present out to the enterprise as services. You can do it the other way around, which is you describe your service descriptor through web service description languages, run it through a reverse generator, and the result of that are new business applications, converters, or Marshall, of course, as we refer to. Or you can sort of meet in the middle. So there are basically three ways you can do that, and we offer wizards for all three. So if you go to slide number 40, just a quick summary of what the wizards are, there's the bottom-up web service enablement wizard, which basically takes your existing COBOL application, generates a web service interface from it. There's the top-down, which takes an existing WSDL file and generates COBOL program and the copybooks. And lastly, there's the meet in the middle, which basically maps your existing WSDL or XML to your existing COBOL application. And it's called meet in the middle since the two blend or map through the mapping function, through the marshallers, as they're called. All right, so let's go to slide number 41 and look at an example of how XSE can help you. So here's sort of a diagram of what happens. So in this example, you've got some existing COBOL, and I want to point out here that all we really do is read it. So there's no requirement to edit or modify your COBOL. We basically take the COBOL in through our XSE engine. We take the WSDL in as well, and the result is set of converters, the driver program, and XML, And the result is that service is now presented to the organization as a service, which is then callable by other applications. So it enables, like I said before, a catalog application or like a new promotional coupon to be written in XML and to refer to the services that way rather than having to hard code in things like calls to DB2 store procedures and all that sort of stuff. That's all abstracted away and managed for you on your behalf by XSE. So going to slide number 42, you not only can generate XML services for the enterprise, you can also test them. So again, here you can see just using the RDC built-in Web Service Explorer, you can actually run tests and verify your services are performing correctly. Again, all within RDC without having to leave and go into another testing tool. Let's change the subject a bit. Go to slide 43 and talk a little about service flows. If you're not familiar with what those are, service flow is our term for the ability to sort of take a step up a bit, model a set of business processes, and then implement them by combining a series of transaction implications into one service. So we basically take your transactions, terminal interactions, and subflows, and sort of combine them into a single operation. And then you can deploy this aggregations operation out to runtimes in Kix or to WebSphere or as a web service. So what that buys you, if we go on to slide number 44, is a much more efficient utilization of your resources. So you can see there, if you've got a web services client on the top slide, on slide number 44 again, we may be trying to do a business process that takes two or three or four Kix transactions. Without service flow features, your web services client will be calling your Kix three or four times. With service flow, what happens is the service flow feature aggregates and combines those Kix transactions into one XML call. So basically, you're reducing the transaction, reducing the traffic flow back and forth, thus improving the efficiency of your application and the productivity. So let's go to slide 45, because you'd say, well, that all looks really nice, you know, service flows and everything. Why are we doing it? Well, we do it to increase productivity. We increase productivity in two ways. One, by aggregating the transactions and simplifying the interface so that it makes it easier for future applications to come along and take advantage of the assets that are there. And it actually helps the enterprise prepare to transform itself, because in the process of doing this, in the process of aggregating and assembling these services and presenting them in a way that makes them more easily consumed, it makes it much easier for the organization to take advantage of these services and reuse them rather than having to rewrite them from the ground up each time. So it's a little background of service flows, what they do. So we basically support Kix Transaction Server 3.1 and WebSphere App Service. So basically, in the RDC, there are service flow wizards that enable you to deploy either the Kix or the WebSphere. So slide number 47, generation and deployment. For Kix 3.x, we generate COBOL, JCL, WSDL, WebSphere Systems Bind, and XML to COBOL converters. All these things are generated by the wizards. And we actually can, as part of the generation and deployment, that we actually transfer the artifacts up to the host. And we can deploy them by submitting the JCL. So from the service flow wizard, you actually can create the new services and deploy them into production, all from RDC. For HATS, we generate HATS micros, then we can deploy the service flows into HATS studios, and we use HATS as well to generate the web service from the macro. Okay, so let's go to slide 48. Again, to show you what we're going to talk about now, we're going to talk a little more about host tooling integration aspects of RDC. Go to slide number 49. I touched on the debug tool earlier on. Just a little more depth on it. Our debug tool supports COBOL, PO1, C, C++. It actually uses the same perspective or the same windows as the Java people do, so everybody can work from the same consistent set of, can use the same user model. Supports Kix, supports IMS, supports DB2. And just sitting on the workstation, you can do all the standard debugging operations, viewing source code, set and clear breakpoints, step through the code, change working storage values, set registers, all the things you'd like to have a debugger to do, we can do it through basically any language that you're working in with RDC. We've added for Ruby 7.1 integration with the Fault Analyzer, so we can actually, from RDC, we can actually go in, collect all the information, the environmental information, stack dumps, traces, all the sort of stuff that are created at the time of an advent, assuming you've got Fault Analyzer 7.1 installed. We're on slide number 51 now, and we've sort of covered the sort of the development and deployment features of RDC. We'll talk a little bit about how you use RDC to talk to and manage your application lifecycle. So let's go to slide number 52. As part of built into RDC, we have what's called the SCLM Developer Toolkit. SCLM is IBM's host-based software creation and library management system. We actually offer an Eclipse-based GUI to SCLM, so it enables you to view in a GUI typical SCM features like groups, types, members, all the audit version information. You can manage your source in SCLM. So If you're looking to host all of your Z assets natively on the host, you already have SDLM anyway. That's a standard product device that comes with every ZOS application. With RDZ, you get a developer toolkit, which enables you to very easily and use SLM through a GUI. On slide number 53, we've added the new feature called the Common Access Host Repository Manager, or CARMA. And that's simply a set of interfaces in a transport layer that enables you to create interfaces to other software configuration management systems. So you've got a non-SDLM solution on your host you'd like to talk to. You can talk to through CARMA. We can also talk to SDMs hosted on distributed desktops as well. There are a set of published APIs that you use to do this. And it's basically a generic interface that allows you to perform any sort of ZOS SCM operation within RDC. Slide number 54, as I mentioned before, you can actually then use CARMA to talk to other SCMs. You'll have to write what we call an adapter, but we get you most of the way there, and you can do things like create navigational views, do the standard SCM operations, viewing metadata, work with different versions, extract source code out, all the sorts of things from basically any SCM that you want to talk to. You write the adapter, we can talk to it for you. Okay, let's go to slide 56, talk for a minute about Rational Business Developer Extensions. Okay, you may know these as what used to be called Enterprise Generation Language. And what is it? Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could look at your enterprise application and just be able to write the whole thing in some sort of meta language and use that same language to both talk to your existing assets, to your DB2 databases, to your Oracle databases, to maybe your existing database routines written in COBOL or Java. And wouldn't it be nice if you could generate all of the interfaces you want, your web interfaces, your user interface, your reports, your web and other native services? Wouldn't it be nice if you could do all that from one sort of standard user paradigm? Well, that's what Enterprise Generation, or RBDE, does for you. RBDE is an optional plug-in to RDC, and with that, you basically can raise the level of abstraction above the individual languages and environments that are run in your Z and your Java world, and basically write to sort of a standard set of APIs and a standard set of system services. And so as you can imagine, everybody's sort of writing all to the same set of services in the same language. Imagine the increase in improvement efficiency that that's going to give you. There's a lot more to EGL, not a lot of time in this discussion to go into it, but if you're struggling with trying to reconcile these different languages, different hosts, different application environments, EGL is certainly worth looking into. So let's go to slide 57. We're going to do a quick summary of what RDZ offers you. Okay, so let's go to slide 58 and try to pull together all the benefits that RDZ offers you. So if you are an IT manager or an application services manager and you're trying to figure out what's the best way for me to develop and deploy this composite application, where a composite application is, you know, there'll be pieces coming from the Z world, coming from the distributed world, you know, how do I do that? Well, what we talked about so far shows you that RDZ does that for you. So with RDZ, you combine straight to EE, brings in some state-of-the-art facilities for developing and deploying Java, PL1, COBOL, and so forth. There's a language-neutral environment. The whole thing is very visual and very intuitive. And it basically pulls all these features together into one environment that can be used across the organization to increase developer productivity, make use of the existing assets, and ties into your existing life cycle in such a way that you can now respond to and deliver business value in a more agile fashion. So on slide 59 now. Okay, so that sort of gives you a Cook's tour through Rational Developer System Z. Clearly, I left a lot out because of the time constraints. There's a lot more to it. At the end of this webcast, you'll see some links you can go to get more information. But what we're going to do now is we're going to turn our attention to how you can combine RDZ and IBM's software configuration management solutions, ClearCase and ClearQuest, into an enterprise-wide application lifecycle management solution. All right, let's move on to slide number 60 and just spend a few minutes talking about our application lifecycle management solution from a higher level. Rational ClearQuest is our change management solution. So if you are looking to automate your application lifecycle, the tool that you would use to set up your workflow, your approvals, your sign-offs, all sort of stuff would be Rational ClearQuest. It comes not only with a configurable lifecycle engine, so you can actually define the stages and the steps and the authority for who can do what when. It also comes with a very rich set of enforcement tools, of reporting tools, of presentation tools. You can extract out the bar charts, the pie charts, or we also talk to certain reporting engines. So it enables you to very quickly, very easily inquire or get status of any issue anywhere in the lifecycle. In addition to being very flexible, it also fully integrates with our requirements management tools, with our SCM solution ClearCase, with our test tools. There's a built-in test manager as well. And all these things are totally configurable. Let's go to slide number 61 to give you an example. And here you see an example of the Eclipse plugin, or the RDZ plugin of ClearQuest, where we are submitting a defect. And what I want to point out here is the appearance of that screen, the highlighted screen, the submit defect screen, that is entirely up to you. What you're seeing here is an out-of-the-box implementation. But you can, as part of the deployment of ClearQuest, totally rework that screen so the terms and the fields and the workflow reflect your organization and not our rules. How you do this is up to you, and that's really what has made the product so simple. So as mentioned before, you can not only use it to submit and manage defects, we go to slide number 62, you can also use it to get reports. Again, as you see, this is running within RDZ, this is an RDZ plugin. So again, staying within the same RDZ environment the rest of the organization is in, you can actually get real live, real-time product metrics. So you can get bar charts, you can get pie charts, you get a very clear idea of resource loading. Just with a few clicks, you can query the database and find out defect arrival rates, resolution rates, defect density. All these sorts of things are very easy to find. Again, all from within the Eclipse plugin of ClearQuest into RDZ. So ClearQuest is your high-level cockpit or control or lifecycle management engine. The companion product, ClearCase, does the low-level work, managing the versions that assets people work with, managing the workspaces that people work in. It has all the infrastructure to enable people to work in parallel, to can isolate incompatible activities and combine them as you need to. And lastly, it provides very rich or robust build auditing so that you can very quickly and easily see when a build runs or if a build fails in test. It's very easy to find out what the failure was, when it happened, who made the change, and where and why. ClearCase, as well, is integrated with all the leading IDEs. It offers you transparent, real-time access to your files and directories pretty much anywhere, either natively in the LAN or over the web. Offers a very rich set of branching and merge tools, so you can very quickly find the information you need to find to make changes efficiently without the risk of walking on somebody, or worse yet, changing the wrong set of assets and finding that out later on. And you can either use a native client, or there's a series of lightweight clients you can use. There's an ISPF client, which I'll show you in a minute. There's a standalone Eclipse client, and we have plugins into RDZ as well. Let's go on to slide number 64. It is an industry-leading solution. It's been around, it's first released in 1993. It's got a very scalable architecture. We have installations of several thousand users using several thousand repositories. And it has a lot of features built into it, which we don't have time to go into here, which enables support for cross-platform builds, cross-platform promotions, and it's sort of the foundation of our end-to-end lifecycle management solution. It also happens to have the highest market share of SCM vendors, as reported by IDC in 2006. So a quick word on ClearCase, so in 565, there's several ways you can use ClearCase. There's an out-of-the-box process called Unified Change Management, which automates and extracts a lot of the low-level process management issues for you, enables you to work in an activity-based change management paradigm, has a fully configurable automated workflow, works in concert with ClearQuest to provide a very robust and easily enforced lifecycle, which still allows you to build in the flexibility you need so that your organization can respond agilely in an agile and cost-effective fashion. It's built on proven best practices. But if that's more business than you need right now, the base ClearCase product, you customize it any way you want. It offers unlimited and automated branching. And you can pretty much implement any configuration management process you want with the base ClearCase product with as little or as much oversight or process management as you like. Go on to slide number 66. ClearCase and ClearQuest are enterprise-level solutions. You can see we integrate to Eclipse. ClearCase and ClearQuest plug into REST Application Developer. Plug into RDZ, as we discussed about. They also plug into RDI, our RICU solution. They're plugged into Visual Studio 2005, ZOS ISPF, and we actually have agents that run in Unix, Windows, Linux, ZOS, and we have web agents as well, either light or medium-weight web clients. And the drawing you see on the right there is sort of representative of representation of ClearQuest, sort of driving the application lifecycle, and the SCM operations happening on the Unix or in ZOS, depending on which pieces of the tool you choose to deploy. So let's go into a little more detail here. Go to slide number 67. I actually use a shot of the ClearCase ISGF client. So as I've mentioned, ClearCase has a host of clients. This is the ISGF client, and this shows you doing basically set up to work from ISGF with ClearCase controlled assets, where you basically set yourself up with your ClearCase view and the activity you're going to work in. So again, you can apply the same rules to the ISGF developer that Stridge developer is working in. Let's go to slide number 68. Here's an example of actually using, and here's where ClearCase and RDZ all come together. So here you are using the RDZ's built-in ISGF window to work with ClearCase controlled assets that are actually being represented in your Remote Systems Explorer window. So actually, as you work through ISGF here, you can actually, and if you're more familiar working with an ISGF environment, RDZ basically pulls all that together for you and makes a completely integrated environment. So you've got your distributed assets on the one side and your ZOS assets on the other. Final feature of ClearCase is our managed build. So ClearCase has in it the facility to construct and submit a batch job on ZOS right from the ClearCase distributed environment. It automatically captures all the built objects, the derived objects, meaning the executable object decks, the compile listing, and brings these back down to the ClearCase environment so that you can be registered along with the rest of the build artifacts. So again, this is part of the composite application development problem. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to build everything all at once under one operation so that you have all the records in one place? Well, with the ClearCase Remote Build, Managed Remote Build feature, you can do that. So with ClearCase Remote Build, you go to slide number 69. You're going to have to configure it to basically identify within ClearCase all the various build parameters, whether you're building for COBOL, whether the file you're working on is a copylib, whether it's an authorized file. Going on to slide number 71, and then you can submit that build right from ClearCase. You see here the build list coming back down from the host. In this last slide, the result is you wind up with a build that is fully audited, fully traced, and even though components of the build happened on the host, the build results that you see on the lower right-hand window there are all recorded in ClearCase. So this is really where we think people want to be. We think that people want to be at a point where they can launch a build of their application and that some tool will take care of building that application, parts on the host, parts of the distributed side, but with the end result being that application is fully built and deployed and that's recorded all in one place. We think that's a much easier way to manage than trying to manage a dissimilar environment. Okay, so just to summarize very quickly, we've taken you through a very lengthy, wordy cook's tour through how you can manage an application development on Rational System Z. We basically went through a quick tour of RDZ. Hope you saw there was a lot there. Hope it interested you enough to look into it some more. And then we then showed you how IBM Rational ClearCase and ClearQuest can be combined with RDZ to provide or offer a complete end-to-end enterprise application lifecycle management solution. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to the operator for questions. And thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, David. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. And please listen to all options before making your selection. Our first question is, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And our second question, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause for just a moment. Our third question, does your company currently have developers supporting multiple environments, such as mainframe, Unix, Windows, etc.? If yes, and they have their own development platform and processes, press star 1. If yes, and they have already adopted a common developer platform tool, press star 2. If only have one platform in the company, press star 3. And again, we'll pause for a moment. Our fourth question, if your company has applications running on multiple platforms, do you have a common set of lifecycle development processes across the platforms? If do not have applications running on multiple platforms, press star 1. If have applications running on multiple platforms and have a set of common processes across all the platforms, press star 2. If have applications running on multiple platforms, but they each have their own set of lifecycle management processes, press star 3. And we'll be back in just a moment. Our fifth and final question is, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2. We'll be back in just a moment to take your questions. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move on to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at this time. And once again, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. And no one is queued up at this time, but I would like to give everyone another opportunity. If you do have a question, please press star 1 at this time. And again, we'll pause for just one moment. It appears we have no questions today, so I'd like to turn the call back to David Lawrence for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, well, thank you for joining this conference. I hope you found the information useful and enlightening. And if you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Get in touch with your local IBM Rational rep, and we can give you more details as you need them. Once again, thank you very much for joining us. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, and that does conclude our conference for today.